sends her love, and of course, certainly ask you to pray for her and Robert. They're going through some health problems and what have you, so remember them. And then our church sends their greetings. And it is certainly a joy to be with all of you today. Whenever I started preparing to preach, I thought, what do we need? And I thought, well, I need to be encouraged. I go to Bible conferences, and I'm always encouraged. So I began to ask the Lord, what would you have me to preach? And he gave me Hebrews chapter 12. And chapter 12, whenever you get to look, actually the whole book of Hebrews, and especially the book of chapter 12, is a chapter of encouragement. Whenever you start with it, it goes, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, right, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Whenever you look at the word patience, it means endure. And certainly, our lives are a endurance race. It's not a 100-yard dash. It's a cross-country race. I can't remember when I haven't had people in the hospital, people with that are having surgeries. The other day, a week ago, Thursday, my sister's blood, heartbeat was 31 when they put her in the ambulance. It was 26 when she got to the hospital. They intubated her and put a pacemaker in. Thank the Lord, she's doing better. She's in rehab now. Our daughter, she's not even 50 yet, and she tore the meniscus in her knee all to pieces. My brother-in-law had brain surgery yesterday, and I'm going to have to admit it, he has a brain. They put this halo thing on him, and it was amazing. He was awake during all of this process. And I was thinking to myself, is there anybody in this auditorium today that doesn't need to be encouraged, that doesn't have problems and trials and what have you that are going on? Amen. Well, so the Apostle Paul says, run with patience.
Yeah.
Run, be endure, be steadfast. So, you know, all of these Christians in the book of Hebrews, all of them were going through trials and testings. Some of them were being tested and they were ready to give up. In verse 4, we read that these Christians had resisted sin, Satan, and the world. They resisted the false teachers. But then it says, but they had not yet, as yet, resisted unto blood, or they hadn't been called to die for the Lord Jesus Christ, as of yet. That didn't mean that it wouldn't be. So, whenever we look at this passage of Scripture, these people, the circumstances and situations are getting worse and worse and worse. And in 2024, the situation is getting worse and worse and worse. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
So to encourage these people, the Apostle Paul gives them some encouragements that I would like us to look. First off, we find the example of the Son of God. In verses 1 through 4, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So in chapter 11, the Apostle Paul, it shows his readers, he begins to talk about all the Old Testament saints. And in chapter 11, it's the faith chapter.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what we call it. So he's showing them that these Old Testament saints ran the race of life that each of us must run, and they ran it by faith, trusting in the Lord. So the picture here is an arena, and the spectators are the heroes of faith listed in chapter 11, and the runners are the believers, you and I, the people that were he was writing to here in chapter 12. We're the runners. We're running the race. My grandson liked to run cross country. I thought he was crazy. When I was in high school, I had to run to stay in shape, so I did. But I didn't enjoy it. I didn't like running. Well, so whenever we look at that, it says, wherefore we are compassionate about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I was thinking, wow, does that mean that people in heaven are looking over the banister to see what we're doing? I used to think that. Whenever I was in the military, I was in chapel one day at the military base, and the preacher was talking about this, and I thought, oh boy, Granny Barnett, my great grandmother that was very strict in her beliefs. One day I went in and I had bought a knife at the Army Navy store, and I was telling Granny all about that knife, and she looked at me and she said, all you ever want to do is stab or shoot something. And I'm thinking, Granny Barney is looking at my life. Dad, my granddad, Nelson, or Jordan, is looking at my life. Oh, man, I am in so much trouble. Well, that's not what this means.
No.
It would sound very good. You could use that and really get people to change their lives. No, not really. Didn't change my life.
Right.
What this means is the men and women that formed that great cloud of witness are the witnesses to the value of living a Christian life by faith.
Amen.
We have to run the race by faith. Yeah. These Old Testament stories just give us a testimony of the blessings that they received for running the Christian race by faith. So we could paraphrase it and say, since we have so many tried and true examples of proven faith, let us run the faith, the life by faith. So it's not that people are in heaven watching us, but they have set a lasting example for us to follow. The record of their lives bears witness to faith, to God, and to truth. Therefore, if they live by the Word of God and were successful in their life, then we can also live by the Word of God.
Right. Amen.
And be successful in our walk for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
So to win the race, Christians have to get rid of the weights and the sins that make it so hard for us to run the race of life.
Right.
My cousin got a scholarship to A&M on track. But in the summer, when everybody else was on vacation, he would drive his car out of Andrews, Texas, out in the West Texas desert. He'd drive out 10 miles. He'd put weights on his ankles and weights on his wrist and weights around his waist. And he'd run back to town. And then he'd walk back and get his car. Oh, that guy's crazy. But now when it came time to run the race at a track meet, he took all that stuff off because that would hinder him. Well, the weights and sin. We have some bad habits we need to get rid of.
That's right.
Yep.
Every one of us, and I'm not going to try to stand up here and list all of her bad habits. One of them is this stinking thing.
Yes, it is.
I mean, this is a time killer. How many of us spend too much time on this and not enough time in this?
That's right.
That's free. That's not even notes. Weights. It doesn't matter what it is. It weights us down and it hinders us from running the Christian race of life.
Right.
And then sin. I wish that I didn't sin, but I do. I'm not proud of it. I wish that I wouldn't sin. But then I have an example of faith. The Apostle Paul, he said, that which I would do, I do. Would not do, I do. And that which I would not, that which I would do, I do not.
Yeah.
So, as hard as we try, we have to work at running the Christian race, keeping our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has already run the race and faithfully conquered. Scripture says he sits at the right hand of the Father. He has finished the race. Whenever he hung on Calvary, we were on his mind. We certainly
yes,
were.
Yes, yes, Lord.
We were on his mind. We're still on his mind.
Still there.
I've had people say, "Well, I don't want to pray too much. I don't want to bother God." I promise you that God can hear your prayers and their prayers too. It's not an inconvenience for God for us to pray. Maybe that's one of those weights that needs to be gotten rid of.
Right.
No, we need to go to the Lord in prayer to find strength, because we need spiritual strength, because the enemy hides behind the tree. I mean, we're running the cross country. Whenever I was working for the power company, we had to patrol the line. We patrolled the transmission lines. One of the guys and I were talking one day, and we were talking about crossing creeks. Well, you know, crossing creeks is part of the race. My grandson had, whenever they run, they had things that obstacles that they had to get across. Well, we were crossing the creek, and we'd been talking about rattlesnakes. You know, because we have rattlesnakes in our country. We've been talking about them. And so we got to where whenever we would come up to the edge of a creek, we were kind of looking real close. And we got across the creek, and we hadn't gotten from here to Brother Randy. And all of a sudden I heard, oh, and I looked back, and there was a snake that had his head up on the grass. And it was chasing him. And I thought, I don't have to outrun that snake. All I have to do is outrun him. We have to get rid of the weights. We have to get rid of the sins. Christ is the author, the pioneer, the finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha and the Omega,
right,
the beginning and the end. What he starts, he finishes. What he started whenever he came at the virgin birth, he finished at the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
He said, "It is finished." Our sin debt is annihilated from the face of the earth, never to be remembered again.
Amen.
And he can lead us to victory.
Amen.
Our Lord went through many trials while he was on this earth. I think about all of the people that he had put up with. We were listening to the scripture on the radio. We have a thing that we can play scripture. And he was talking about the Lord, and he went to a publican's house. And everybody, oh, I can't believe he's going to a publican's house. And then there was a lady of ill repute came. She washed his feet with her tears, and she dried his feet with her hair.
Yeah.
There was true repentance.
Mm-hmm.
But all the Pharisees and all the, oh, I can't believe. He had to put up with us. But all the time, we were on his mind.
All the time.
When he went to Calvary, he finished the work of our salvation. And today, he sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. We can still go to him because he's still on our mind. I mean, we're still on his mind. Humanly speaking, that was the happiness, the joy that led him to victory, because it says the joy that was set before him. You and I have a joy that is set before. When we finish this Christian race, we're going to be with the Lord. We're going to be in the Father's house where there's many mansions.
Yep.
We're going to be with the Father. We're going to be in heaven. We're going to worship God day and there's not going to be any day and night.
Yeah.
We're going to get rid of day and night. We're just going to worship God for all eternity.
Yeah.
Our sin took him to the cross where he paid the cross, paid the cost of our sin with his life. Now, most of us are not going to run the race of life to death. Most of us probably will not be martyred for Christ. It could happen. You say, no, sure, no. It could happen. You read prophecy and it could happen.
Very good.
But I think that we are going to be tasked for living for Christ and running the race of life by faith for the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might finish and hear him say, well done. Well done, thy servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. You've run the life, run the race of life. Now, consider him. Every morning we should get up and consider the Lord Jesus Christ. What does he want me to do today? What am I to do for the Lord today? These words are the secrets of encouraging and strengthening us when the race of life gets hard and difficult. We need to take our eyes off of ourselves and other people and circumstances and look to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith.
That's right.
Now we see the assurance of the love of God. Verses 5 through 13. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you have endured chastenings, there's that word again, endured chastenings, God dealeth with you as a son. For what son is to him the father? I'm sorry, I lost my place. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, then whereof are all partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. So this passage of Scripture tells us that these Christians had forgotten the basic truths of the Word of God, and they had started saying, well, you know, I think maybe Judaism would be better. I think it would be better to go back to Judaism. After all, it's been around for a long, long time. This Christianity thing, it's a new thing. And the Apostle Paul quoted Proverbs 3, 11 through 12 to remind them that the sufferings in this life are not punishments, but chastenings.
Yeah.
The word chastening literally means child training. We are the children of God.
Yes, we are.
We're still growing. I hadn't learned everything.
That's right.
Brother Rand said, you have a PhD. That don't mean I know everything. That, what that means is I know where to go to find it. That's really what seminary does. It teaches you where to go find it and how to interpret it. Well, so nurturing. I think whenever I think of this passage of Scripture, I think about being nurtured. The
right.
Lord nurtures us along. This child back here is getting a bottle. Well, the Lord does it not say that we're babes in Christ and that
right.
we will grow and we
right.
mature? Is not the Lord nurturing us, and does he not use trials and testings to do that? Well, yes, he does. Punishment is the work of a judge. Chastening is the work of a father. Punishment is handed out to uphold the law. Chastening is given as a proof of God's love and for the betterment of his children. But too often we rebel at God's loving hand of chastisement.